This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. John here. A few items before we get into a wonderful interview with YouTuber and professional musician HD Shaves. First off, I am happy to announce a successful launch of Voices, our collaboration between Lather Talk and House of Mammoth. A huge thank you to everyone involved who could make this release happen, and for you, the listeners, for those of you who were able to pick up a set, thank you guys so much for supporting this release. We're also looking into the possibility of a follow-up run for Voices, so keep an eye out on my social media. And we'll be sure to announce it once we have the green light. Also, I have to say thank you to our Patreon supporters. If you guys are interested in financially supporting the Lather Talk podcast, then head over to www.patreon.com/lathertalk. And you can find out more information about the Patreon and get access to things like bonus and behind the scenes content. Also, don't forget that we have some Lather Talk merchandise, a comfy t-shirt, a very nifty mug. You guys can go check that out over on our Etsy store, link in description. Okay, with that out of the way, let's move on to our talk with HD Shaves, coming right up. Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of Lather Talk. First off, I am sad to say we are not joined by my lovely co-host Gerard as due to some family illnesses. He's not able to make us today. So, our thoughts, prayers are with Gerard and his family. Speedy recovery. However, I would like to introduce my guest for today. He is a fellow content creator over on YouTube and professional musician, all around great guy. He is HD Shaves. Henry, thank you for joining me tonight. So good to have you on.
Thanks, John. Happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me on your show. And any best wishes to Gerard and his family. I'll give them some, I'll tease them some other time.
Okay. Yeah, you'll have to get your licks in maybe on a future appearance, perhaps.
Right.
Well, HD, you started your YouTube channel, and correct me if I'm wrong, October 2019, I believe was the first published video. And
correct.
My first question to you is, what inspired you to create the channel, a wet shaving channel of all things on YouTube?
Right. So there's sort of two answers to that, and I'll try to be brief with both. The first is I've had YouTube channels in the past for hobbies and also my profession. And so it didn't seem too crazy to make a YouTube channel for this other hobby that I was getting into. And you mentioned the timing of October 2019. That mm-hmm. is important because I had just met Michael Friedberg, the great, YouTube shaver person.
Yes.
I just met him in person maybe the first or second week in October at a small meetup we had in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh.
And meeting him, he was super gracious and kind to me. And he really was the one inspiration to start the channel. And when I met him, I was sort of worried, like, well, am I really experienced enough at this? Do I have the right to make this channel? And he said, man, anyone could do this. Like you don't have to have years of experience like me. You should just start and do it. So those were the two main things, I guess, that got me started on the, you know, YouTube track.
Awesome. And for listeners who might not be familiar with Michael Friedberg, Michael was a long time, I don't know how many years, but I really enjoy his videos. He had a very, I think, like methodical approach, very affable, likable, really miss his content, but he had a really good stint. And when it was done, he said he was done. And I know he's popped up here and there back when Heather and Jack had their podcast. I know he was a reoccurring guest. So just a little background. Michael's channel is still there. You can watch his old videos. And there are really some great tips, nuggets of wisdom. And just I think they're still fun watches if folks went back. But I had no idea that you actually got to meet him just prior to kicking off your YouTube channel. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was thinking about it already at that point, about starting a channel. And Michael's was one that I would watch every week. He used to publish his videos sometime Sunday afternoon. And so it was literally every week I would wait for that video to be published and I would watch it and, you know, really like it. So it was great timing that I was able to meet him. And we've kept in touch over the years. He's been very helpful and, you know, anyway, it's nice to call him like my like shaving mentor, shaving dad. Mm-hmm. You know, he is sort of old enough that he could be my dad. Yeah. So there's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Michael's been very, you know, he's been a great teacher in a sense, and he's been very supportive also of, you know, what I've been doing. So yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. And so Henry, I think. I want to say we met over on our wet shaving on Reddit, and in a previous episode, I was talking with Gerard about the Lather Games, which I believe is at the point of this recording is kind of wrapping up. Are you participating in the 2022 Lather Games?
Right. So this is my second year in a row as a judge for the Lather Games. I was a player in 2020. Judge 2021, and then this year I'm judging again. I'm a little bit too stiff to be like a really great Lather Games competitor. So I think it's much more suitable that I'm a judge and not a player. And yeah, we've been having a really great time doing that. It's totally ridiculous, but you know, so is the fact that we're doing this interview right now, right? Mm-hmm. This is also ridiculous. So when you think of it that way, it sort of makes it seem, you know, fine.
Totally. For those listeners who might only kind of, you know, like know surface level, what's going on with the Lather Games? There's a different theme every day. You're basically pouring over, I don't know how many, but like tons and tons of essentially shave of the days that are really intricate, oftentimes long write-ups. I don't know. Can you walk us through some of the process of like the daily happenings for a judge of the Lather Games?
Sure. So it's gotten easier in the past, I guess, 2 years because we have this portal now that we use to judge. It's like a website. Previously, it was all done by hand, and we have hundreds of individual posts that happen each day. So you can imagine how annoying that would be to do by hand.
Oh, yeah.
So fortunately, I came in as a judge just as we got the portal. So it's all in a very nice, sort of easy to use website. And we're essentially judging people on whether or not they met the lather theme of the day. So one day we say you have to use a lavender forward soap. One day we'll say you have to use a fougere, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so even though it's really only about the lather that you use, there are all these sort of side challenges that we add. And the players get very creative with some of the stories that they tell or things that they, you know, include. So, for example, on Lavender Day, like some people will go to like fresh, like a, what's it called? A lavender field. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, that's very literal, but some players will, you know, drive to a lavender field and like take their shave of the day photo, like in that as a way to sort of supplement their lather being on theme. They're also like, look what I did, you know, I'm actually with lavender, things like that. So, it is really all about the lather in terms of, you know, the the judging, but there's some other things that sort of add to it. But that's what's weighted most heavily, if that makes sense.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so follow-up question, given that we're talking about lather games, this is over on Reddit. And in my experience, Redditors are wet shaving Redditors. That's right. Are wary of YouTubers. And I know, obviously, you have been invited as a judge. We met over on that forum. Do you have any tips on staying in the good graces of wet shaving Redditors? For those out there, for those current or maybe aspiring wet shaving YouTubers, do you have any pieces of advice?
So, man, that's a... I have to think very carefully about how I answer this question.
This was not set up as like entrapment or anything.
No, it's fine. This is a good question. I think Reddit in general, the shaving, well, at least our wet shaving, Wicked Edge is kind of another thing. But for the wet shaving subreddit, I think it is generally seen from outsiders as being this sort of judgmental, divisive platform. And I will admit that some of my fellow whatever people are maybe a little bit like that, but let the record show that I'm just about everybody getting along, and shaving is shaving. You should use whatever you want to use. And now to answer your question more specifically, I think YouTube is an interesting platform for shaving because it draws people from different avenues. Like, I feel back in the day, it was mostly people coming from Facebook, then were on YouTube. And then there was also like the Reddit people. So like Ruds and Michael. And nowadays there are people that just start on YouTube. And then now it's certainly very involved with Instagram. So I always think of YouTube as this sort of like midway point. And it's usually not the only place where we are. And it's just sort of the best way to upload videos. And so we're all sort of, I don't want to say a slave, but it's like we have to put it on YouTube, right?
Right.
So we all do, but we all come from different places. Did I answer the question? The question was, how do we get in the good graces?
No, I think you're giving a really good background. And apologies, listeners, I didn't give that proper setup. And HD took care of that. Kind of just...
Okay.
I've used the word spicy in the past.
Spicy.
You know, some of the wet shaving Redditors can be spicy. And and there is a certain reputation, which we either alluded to or, I mean, I'm not trying to dance around it. It's like some people find it either really abrasive, other people like, this is home. And you could probably say that about any wet shaving community, Facebook group, whatever. And that's fine.
Right.
And so to backtrack to the actual question was, just do you have any tips or advice for... staying in the good graces of the R wet shaving community, since that's, you know, we can't really speak to Wicked Edge. For those who don't know, those are two, it's like two really different groups. They cover the same topic, but the actual membership personalities greatly differ.
Right. Okay. Now I thought of a better sort of scenario in my mind to answer the question.
Okay.
So I think sometimes people that are not on Reddit, they look at us and they say, how could I ever join this? Like, how could I be in the good graces of these people? Like, they're ridiculous and spicy, right? But really, I think if you're honest and just participate, like, that's really all that we ask. Like, just post your shave of the day in the thread. And if you're new, we will usually say, like, hey, thanks for posting. And if you keep doing that, and you're not, you know, ignorant to certain maybe like issues that we have within the shaving thing, like as long as you're like aware of some of these things, then we're generally very welcoming. Like, we've had some new people that have started posting in like the Shave of the Day threads recently, and like, we're thrilled to have them. And they're not like the typical Reddit user. Like, you might think of the typical person might be like me, right? Like, kind of young white dude, right? But we have some people who are like literally like senior citizens who have started posting in the Shave the Day thread, and we're absolutely thrilled to have them. So I guess just being earnest and just posting, and, you know, let us know about you and we'll comment back. And yeah, it's not as frightening as I think it used to be. Like, I feel like we've gotten a little bit more welcoming. The times have changed.
That's really great to hear. And just to offer like my experience or just my background on it, it's I used to be more involved on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And then just as the content creation thing has taken up more time, I got to kind of pick and choose where I can participate. And I mm-hmm. do think that really is a key factor where it's like the whole like one of us kind of thing. Like you're not dropping in to the sub to just plug your shit. Essentially, right. Like that would be looked upon really poorly. But if you're correct. in the mix, you're doing stuff like Lather Games, you're participating in PIVs. Like there's some super just in general the wet shaving community. But this is inclusive of our wet shaving. Very generous folks out there mm-hmm. looking out for both veterans and newbies to wet shaving mm-hmm. alike. So I do want to give credit where credit's due, but. I just personally was very, really, just because you're, I would say that's kind of like home base for you.
Sure.
I was curious, like, how would you point someone, like, what are the right moves to make to be successful?
This looks really great, the fact that it's this very long-winded answer. But to make one final point, you were talking about content creation, and that is sort of a weird thing. We have specific rules, at least on our wet shaving, about, like plugging your content. And it's not personal. Like if you're a new person and you try to post a, plugging your YouTube video thing, it's going to get taken down because it's a rule on the sub. There are very specific ways that you have to post it. You have to disclose how you got the product. But if you're there regularly, like people read my posts. I used to do standalone posts and this was October 2019. Like I didn't know anything from anything, but because I was doing it regularly and I was open to criticism and critique and things like that, I feel like the people sort of accepted those posts. But if you just come at it from left field, like it doesn't. Yeah, it's not going to work.
It's frowned upon.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it is a rule.
That's true. It's more than frowned upon. It's like read the rules, dummy. And there's like certain posts are like Free Talk Friday, right? It's still a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It is very free. I mean, like it's like people talk about work, people talk about politics, people talk about hey, I need to buy a new drill. Like, what do you recommend? Like it's like everything, which I think is cool, but we only do that once a week, like the rest it's pretty much shaving, right? So
it's very organized. If you really do have to just the rules aren't even that long. It's just you get a feel for how things are done anyway. Thank you so much for humoring that question.
Sure.
Again, I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I swear. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. All right, let's keep it within shaving, but shifting gears a little bit. Mm-hmm. Are there any shaving products, hardware, software, modern or vintage, that you currently have your eye on or are looking forward to?
So, well, let me clarify. Is this the question about brands, or is this just in general something that I'm looking forward to?
More specific. Like, is there like a razor coming out? Is there a specific like software scent that's got you intrigued?
Right. Okay.
Or even vintage razor, like you've been like, oh, I'm keeping my eye out for this piece.
Okay. I guess it would be, so I've started using straight razors, in the past, let's say month. And I have always thought that the, Wade & Butcher, razors were very attractive as sort of a, historic brand. And so I just got one of those in the mail recently. But as is with straight razors, you have to get it like restored and honed and all of that.
Right.
So I've got this Wade & Butcher razor that I'm looking forward to using, but it could be weeks until that actually happens. So that's a razor that I'm definitely looking forward to using.
Oh,
and
cool.
And kind of just more straights in general.
Yeah.
That is, I mean,
that's a big rabbit hole that you might go to.
I thought vintage razors, like vintage safety razors, were a deep rabbit hole, and I explored that for sure. But even with the gems, most of those were made 1900 and onward.
Yeah.
Whereas with straight razors, I'm pretty sure this razor I got is from like the 18 something, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
And so with straights, it's like you can, I mean, and then you got people making them now, right? So it's like you have from the 1800s up until present day, you know? Mm-hmm. So it is kind of, is quite the rabbit hole. Yeah. But I'm going to try to keep it contained.
No problem. That's definitely, I feel like we need to follow up with Gerard and see where you are in a few months, like with
yes.
the straight razors, because just like upkeep, you know, because I've dabbled, you know,
yes.
as well. And it's fun. It's fun, you know, new technique and all that, but like strops maintenance, mm-hmm. like do you have someone, have you sent it out to be honed, or do you need to like find someone to do that? Like where are you as far as getting it restored and honed up?
Right. So let me use this as a very small plug, which is to say that Brad Maggard of Maggard Razors is a fantastic person at honing, but he keeps it sort of on the down low that he still does this. Oh. But it's like if you scroll all the way down, like if you go to their homepage on the website, you scroll all the way down and it says like razor honing service or something. Like he intentionally keeps it in small print on the bottom.
really?
Like he's, you know, honed thousands of blades, right? And that's what he kind of started with, I think, before he maybe started the business. And so I'm planning to send this to him at some point. Just as a place to start. The other two straight razors that I've already used were honed by a friend. He gifted me this vintage Yankee cutlery razor that he restored, and then he honed it for me. And then he freshly honed this Ralph Aus straight razor that I bought, which is sort of a familiar modern German razor brand.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've had my friend. He did the first two, and I'm going to have Brad do this next one. But I have no intention to get into the honing. Once again, you can check me on this in a few months, but I have no intention to get into honing, and I plan to keep this one strop. Like, I'm not trying to get a bunch of strops either. We'll see.
Right. That's like fingers crossed.
Please, let's keep it at this. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. I didn't realize you were getting into straight razors. So best of luck on that journey and just have fun with it. I hope
that's
it's
right.
It was a fun little venture.
Definitely not easy, but it is rewarding in the sense that it's truly traditional. You know, it doesn't feel more authentic to me than, you know, stropping that blade and praying that you don't slice your face off, you know? Yeah. But truthfully, it hasn't been that difficult. I mean, I started with sort of these disposable open blade things like the Weck and the Feather Artist Club. And
I
borrowed a Tedalus, I don't know how you say it, Essence razor, right?
Yeah.
So I started with those, and people always told me that they were more harsh than straight razors, and I'm inclined to agree with those people. I've really had no issues using the straight. I mean, I'm not getting a super close shave in some parts, I haven't gotten the cuts like I did in the beginning with like the Weck, you know. It is somehow more forgiving, and I'm not sure why. I would love to ask this question to your viewers. Any theories as to why those like open blade razors where you put in a blade are so much more harsh than the straights? I've heard for some of the cheaper open blade ones, like the knockoff, you know, Chinese like shavette type things that you can buy. It's like it's sort of like a design flaw, like it's just not a good quality. But I mean, I was using like a Feather Artist Club or something like that. And I'm not sure why it is that way, but that's been my experience also. Have you used any of those open blade razors that are not straight razors?
No, I actually, that's the area that's unexplored. And I have heard from not just you, it can be less forgiving. However, I have heard awesome things about the Weck as far as those, they're typical Artist Club blades. Is that right?
So they're not even Artist Club because they're old. So they take these hair shaper blades.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Which are mainly used in like, you know, barbering things.
Yeah.
But I'll also let this be my plug that if you want to try a cheap open blade razor, I would recommend the Weck because you can get the actual razor on eBay for like 10, 20 bucks. And then you just got to find the blades, which is a little tricky.
Yeah.
But there are more hair shaper blade options than there are gym blade options, in my opinion, in terms of like usable ones. So I'd really recommend the WEC as a place to start. Not very expensive, and they work well. So,
yeah. Okay. I've heard like the feathers can be tricky and whatnot, but the WEC, multiple people have recommended trying just for something different. But to address HD's question just before, if people out there who know, you know, have an answer to why straight razors might be more forgiving than the other style razor, please let us know. You can check the show notes, give me an email. If you're watching on YouTube, comment below, and we'll come back to it. I'll forward it over to HD to satiate that curiosity.
That's right. Yeah, some people really know about this stuff. About like putting an edge on something, and the people know about the the edges of these disposable blades, whether they're DE blades or gem blades or hair shaper blades. Like, some people really know the like science behind all them. I mean, I don't at all. So
yeah, me neither.
I would love some like highly scientific thing of like, okay, so the edge on this looks like this versus this, so this is why it maybe feels, I mean, that's all it could be, right? It's like all on the edge. I mean, it has to be.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, the method and putting it on, the angles. And like, mm-hmm. I feel like put it under a microscope, and it's probably very apparent if you know what to look for. Like, but I don't know it. But luckily, there are people, you know, that is their domain. And hopefully, yeah, we can get some answers to that. I'd love to know the answer as well.
Mm-hmm. Not getting enough drama, talking smack, or hooligan hijinks from your regular forums, social media, or Reddit? Well, the Lather Talk Discord is not for you. Sorry to disappoint. But if you're looking for a cool place to hang out with fellow traditional shaving degenerates, come on down to the Lather Talk Discord. Share your shave of the days, mail calls, or talk about your favorite hardware, software, and just about everything in between. Once again, that's Lather Talk Discord. Check out the link below.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, but let's. I did want to pivot the conversation a little bit. I want to put out there that HD is not only a YouTuber. So, you know, in your professional life, you are an awarded and accomplished musician by trade, pianist, organist, composer, and educator. So we had some folks over on the Lather Talk Discord that were really more interested. They were interested in learning more about your musical career. So I hopped on the old internet and found your, you know, professional biography. Very well done. And you know, I saw that you became a professional musician at the tender age of 16. Mm. So can you share with us a brief overview of how you got into music professionally?
Sure. So I had a typical, well, not typical, well, yeah, it was typical in that my mom signed me up for piano lessons when I was 8, and I didn't particularly enjoy it. You know, it was only classical music. I had older teachers who were very much in the kind of old school way of teaching piano. And so I only did classical music up until I was maybe 15, 14. Mm-hmm. And I didn't particularly enjoy it, but luckily I was talented at it, and I was lucky that my parents and my teachers like pushed me. They were like, you may not really like this right now, but you could maybe use this to get into college or get, you know, scholarships for whatever kind of thing. So like, you should try to do this. Like, you shouldn't, let's see. Right.
Yeah.
And so continued with that, did all kinds of classical piano competitions growing up. And then when I got to high school, and I mention this all the time to my students and friends who have kids and things like that, but if you're a good pianist, when you get to high school, you suddenly realize, like I did, or at least at most schools, that the only ensemble that has piano in it is Jazz Band. And so it was like, well, I play all this piano and I should probably play it with a group sometime. So let's join Jazz Band. Long story short, I really liked the jazz thing. I was lucky to have some good jazz teachers too. And so I had only been playing jazz maybe one or actually not even 2 years. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do. Like I wanted to pursue that. I wanted to go to school for that, which you can, which is kind of crazy. You can study jazz, but that's the thing where the 16 comes in is that I skipped my last year of high school to start at college studying jazz because I knew that's what I wanted to do. And so I was 16 and I started gigging basically, you know, when I moved to that town in Texas. And so that's why I say I was professional when I was 16 because technically, yes, I was being paid. You know, money.
Wow.
I wasn't touring or anything.
Yeah.
But technically, I was making some money playing these little bar gigs and things like that. So that's where that came from. And so, right. So I went to school for jazz, was lucky to do all sorts of things while I was in school. Did a bachelor's and a master's both in jazz. And then...
What school, if I might interrupt you? Sorry, HD.
Sure. No, I went to a school in Denton, Texas, which is north of Dallas by about 45 minutes, called the University of North Texas. It's a pretty well-known school for jazz, not really for classical, but they've had a jazz program there since like the 60s or the 70s, which is kind of unheard of because back then, quite literally, you were not allowed to play jazz at a lot of music schools. Like, you know, even some schools now, like I've heard of like some of these classical conservatories where they'll say, oh, we don't allow you to play jazz here. Which is like
very buttoned up. Like,
So it's you know, it's kind of a weird thing. It's sort of like the like it's like this ugly headed what's the ugly redheaded stepsister
stepchild
of like classical music. Because now they have classical and jazz in like the same, you know, academic building, and that really bothers some of the classical people.
I'm sure it does.
Which I think is great. Like I always try to like poke them, you know. But right, so I went to North Texas, did 6 years back to back undergrad and master's, and then I was lucky to get a touring gig straight out of my master's. So I played with a swing band. We played all around the U.S., Canada. We went to Japan. I did that for about 8 months, and then I moved here to Chicago long after that, and then I've been here for just over 3 years, and that's basically the timeline since I was a kid, you know, and I'm still a kid, frankly, but
Wow, super accomplished yet humble, guys. That's
trying.
quite the combination, but that's awesome. Thank you so much. I mean, I know that's a lot to distill. And I'll be sure to leave a link to HD's professional website. You can look in the show notes, in the description, if you're watching the video, if you want to learn more. And to stay on the topic of music, we'll do more listener questions, but one fellow person on Discord, DF in DC, he was curious kind of what the typical gigging / teaching schedule looks like for you and how that fits into or how that might dictate life as a whole.
So it's not uncommon that we have sort of strange schedules as people who do music full-time or even part-time. So most of us will gig in the evenings. You know, in busy seasons, it could be almost every night. In not busy seasons, it could be, you know, a long time. But anyway, we'll usually play gigs at night. And then the question is, what do you do during the day? So a lot of us teach, which is what I do. Some people teach through, you know, proper schools, or they teach privately, which is what I do. And then some of us even will get some sort of like day gig, as we call it, where you know, are doing HR for some company. And then on the weekend, you go play your gigs. So people may think it's all about the money, like you need the day gig to support yourself, which is kind of true. But in a lot of cases, and I felt this way when I was performing a lot, you need something to do with your time. So even if you're making a lot of money performing in the evening, it's like, what do you do during the day? You just, and then you get into this thing of you go on your like emotional high on the gig and then you do nothing. And then you just like sink because you're just waiting for that next gig. And so I find it healthy for me if I have stuff I can do during the day to sort of get me from gig to gig so that I'm not just doing the ups and downs of live performance, which can be very exciting. But those things that you hear about, like famous musicians who have addictions and issues, like it's like a real thing, even for somebody sort of not, you know, just doing kind of local stuff. It's a difficult thing to sort of balance that schedule. So I just wanted to make the point that like it's not just like we need the day gig for the money, which is sometimes true.
Right.
But it's also just to like keep us busy because it is an odd schedule, and that's just part of the thing, you know, that it's sort of an odd schedule. Yeah.
We kind of touched upon this, but I just want to put it out there again. So Scorpio93X asks, what's your most desired razor holy grail? I'm sorry. Or holy grail for the collection? Or up to three holy grails, if you like.
Sure. I remember reading this one. And the one I can think of is, so do you know about the Streamline Razor?
I do not. Do tell.
So it's this coveted gem-style razor that they made in England in like the 30s and the 50s. It's chrome, which is sort of makes it unique compared to the other razors that were, you know, nickel or gold or brass or whatever. And they were sold in these different sets. Technically, Streamline was only the name of this sort of single streamlined case. Like it was like, that's sort of where the name comes from. Yeah, it was like this like single razor thing, very like art deco kind of way. And it was the way that it was designed. And so of course, me and my vintage razor rabbit hole that we mentioned earlier, I set off to like collect all of the different versions of this razor.
Oh my.
And so I've successfully done that except for one version.
Okay.
Which is nice. The gem streamline. And I say gem because technically this razor was made under Eveready within the UK. But then the versions they sold to Australia were branded as Gem. But as far as I know, they were made in the same factory. So it's literally just the fact that the razor says Gem on the back of it. And then the case, this like streamlined case, it says Gem on the front of it. So these are extremely difficult to find because they were only sold in the Australian market. So I have some of those razors that say Gem on the back. But I don't have this particular version with that case. So if anybody has one, let me know. But they're really difficult to find, honestly.
Wow. Okay. That really does sound like that you'll be hunting for that for.
Oh, forever. Yeah.
For a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen one available for sale in that particular case. So this is one of those things where the same razor was sold in a bunch of different cases.
Yeah.
But if you're a serious vintage razor person, you only care about the case. so that's my situation, is that I have this razor in many copies, but I just want this particular case. And again, I don't know if I've ever seen one for sale on eBay or forum BSTs or anything. I don't think I've missed one, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So that's my holy grail razor.
Okay, so Australian listeners of the podcast, first, thank you for listening to this American podcast. But
if you have
any leads for HD, please be sure to shoot him a message. Again, the links and stuff to how you can contact that guy are in the show notes. And this kind of thing, I think it's like where the community can really come in and help.
That's right.
So, right? I mean, kind of like make those connections or be looking at, I guess, Australian antique shops, perhaps?
Yeah, yeah, or Aussie eBay also is a thing. Yeah. Like, they have their own eBay. And of course. So I've certainly hunted that. But yes, we're all about building community, right, John? So
We are.
What better way to do that?
Help them find the thing that's really hard to find.
Right, right. Yeah.
All right. Well, staying on the topic of gem razors, Raza asks, what's your favorite vintage gem razor and what gem blade do you prefer?
Oh, see, that's funny. I remember reading this and I thought about the answer to the second question. Now I got to think about the first one. Can I answer the first one in two parts?
Yeah.
Okay, so on purely aesthetics, the looks of the razor, I would say it's that Streamline, which was usually sold as an Ever Ready made razor, but they did make some gen ones. Anyway, the like Streamline razor, that's the yeah, that's probably the aesthetics. In terms of the shaver, it would probably be one of the 1912 variants. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
Was your first video with a Gem Junior?
Yeah, the Gem Junior is great. And I've since picked up that kind of like new old stock 1912. Mm-hmm. I think I just like looking at it. I mean, it shaves awesome too. But sometimes I just like look at it like, man, this is great. I just go on with my day.
Yeah, the Gem Junior 1912 is one of my favorites because that was the first one I used, and that particular razor is just like magical. Like it really sent me down the rabbit hole very well because it was so nice. And that one is notable because it was like the last one that they made in the U.S. of the 1912 models. So it was really made in like the 30s, even though the patent date was 1912. It was like one of the later models. And so I'm not sure what that means. My conspiracy theory is that they figured out how to make the razor better in those, 20 years or whatever.
Okay.
But I really like Gem Juniors. And if you're in the U.S., you can get those for $5 on eBay. And so long as they're, working properly in terms of the mechanics, it's just like a no-nonsense razor. I think it's great. Yeah, so Gem Junior. Oh, and then blades. Sorry.
Yeah. No, blades. You're fine. Keep going.
Okay, blades. There are some people that insist that the carbon steel blades are good. I disagree with them, but if you like carbon steel, I'm happy for you. So the only real blade I think you can use, which is kind of a drag because it's so limiting, but it's also good because I only buy one blade for my gem razors. It's the PTFE coated ones. PTFE is like a Teflon type coating, and they put that edge on other blades too, like even DE blades or like those hair shaper blades. They have like a PTFE edge on them. So I think it makes it smoother because I've tried other gem blades that are uncoated stainless, or the carbon steel blades I don't believe are coated either. And it's just terrible. Like, I absolutely hate those blades. It just feels just extremely rough and not nice. So I really like the PTFE coated ones. They're still making them. They're not like out of print or anything. I think they're mostly used for like medical things, but you can get those on eBay, or you can buy them through your favorite like shaving vendor too, if you don't like, if you want to buy directly from like a shop. Right. But yeah, so the PTFE stainless blades are the ones that I recommend and tell everybody to start with. Yeah.
Very good. So for those maybe just getting into gem razors or never tried one, want to know where to start, I think that's the blade to get, and that's the try to find yourself a 1912. I meant to ask, 1912 and Gem Junior, are they necessarily the same thing, or it's just like there's overlap, or what's the deal there?
So there was a razor called Gem Junior that was made before 1912 in the form of like a lather catcher, which were these like things that often took wedge blades and were sort of the predecessor to the 1912, which was the first I don't know. That's the one that people kind of start with when they're talking about like the history of like what we call gem razors. Okay. And so they call it there were a bunch of different models of 1912 that all had these slight variations. made under different brands too. So Gem, Eveready, Treat, Star, these were all razor brands, but they all basically made the same razor. There were just these subtle little differences, like in the way the safety bar looked or the handle that the razor was on. Mm-hmm. So you can find a Gem or Eveready 1912 made in the US that looks basically identical to a Gem Junior 1912 that was made in, like I said, I think like the 30s. They look exactly the same. It's just the difference is the name on the back. And again, maybe there are these slight differences in the geometry over the course of those 20 years. But again, I'm not like the guy looking at this under a microscope. It's just my hunch that the reason why I like the Gem Junior more is because it's later and maybe they made it slightly different. Maybe.
Right, possible improvements in the design.
Correct.
And whatnot. Okay.
All right.
Thanks. I was just curious, just because I haven't done a deep dive on, you know, like, all the background. Because I feel like the vintage Gillettes are talked about fairly, you know, often when you're first starting out looking at vintage stuff. That's kind of like, oh, try Super Speed, Fat Boy, Slim, etc. But yeah, more love for Gem razors. So I don't know. Maybe hopefully someone will you'll pique their interest.
There you go. hopefully.
My conversation. Yeah.
They're cheap and they shave well. So if those two characteristics of a razor are important to you, I think it's an easy choice. However, if you're more interested in other things, I understand that too. But cheap, shaves well, get you a Gem Junior, some PTFE blades, you'll be golden.
Yeah, and even if you've been doing wet shaving for a long time, it's a nice way to mix things up.
Mm-hmm.
I think I seem to remember before you got into Gem, right? You were saying, and this is quite common, it's like it just looks so funky, like the big flat surface on it, and then that it takes a different blade, not double edge blade. So I think we totally acknowledge the hurdles that might you get over before trying it out.
That's right. Let the record show that John single-handedly pushed me into this rabbit hole. He was maybe the initial spark, and then I talked to several other people, and they're like, "Yeah, you should try it." Yeah, they do look weird. However, if you're into the history of it, if you go look at the pictures of those old lather catchers, you see the progression. It's like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why is this head so big? Like, why can't it be slimmer? It's like, well, because back in the day, they made it, you know, intentionally that way so that it would catch the lather, like, underneath the head and, like, where the blade was, you know? And so if you see the progression, it kind of makes sense. But on its own, if you've never seen any of that and you see, like, a Gem Junior, it's like, what the hell is this? Like, it looks kind of crazy. But now I found the beauty for them, of course. So...
So Todd from Take Care Man, he asks, since you're in Chicago, have you ever visited Mertz Apothecary?
Yes, absolutely. So I live not more than 2 miles from their location. And I always try to mention them in my videos if I'm, you know, using a product that I actually bought from their store because I went in and bought it or... you know, something like that. It's a historic store in a historic neighborhood. You know, you can trace the lineage of the owners, like back to the original person that opened it. And so I think that's very cool. And when they first opened or not opened, but when they first like went online with their traditional shaving equipment in, you know, I don't know, like the early 2010s approximately, I think they were very important to this resurgence in shaving this way.
Yes.
And so I always try to mention that and acknowledge that they were really important in like 2012 when they did this huge like convention with like Geo Fat Boy, Mantic 59, like people like this. Like they organized this back then.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah.
If you think this thing of ours is small now, like it was, it was nothing like 10 years ago. And so when am I getting here? So it's nice that they've had this like important history, with the traditional shaving thing. And I don't go there that much because now with all these other online vendors, they have to share sort of their part of the market, right? But sure. I think they're doing fine outside of the shaving stuff because it's like the way the store is set up, it's like two parts. The shaving, you can imagine it is like one quadrant of it. Another quadrant of it is like cosmetics and like fragrances. Like they sell imaginary authors and okay. like people like that.
Yeah.
And that's like one half of the building. And the other half is like soaps and like holistic medicine and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not just shaving, right? But people,
right, right. You know,
like people go there for that. But I think they're doing fine. So I'm very happy for them. And is it possible to include that link that Todd posted? It, like in yes. this somehow? Like in the notes?
Yeah, I can definitely do that. So Todd, when he asked the question, had, and correct me if I'm wrong, he posted a YouTube link that has a, mm-hmm. A promo for Mertz. Is that yep. right? So I can certainly link that. And I actually do appreciate you mentioning some of the history and the importance. Their online, though, component is Smallflower?
Smallflower. That's right. Okay. That's the name of their online thing, which has nothing to do with Mertz. And then people also think of them within the shaving world as Q Brothers because the last name of the owner starts with a Q, and it's two brothers now. They took it over from their dad, and they had this like Q Brothers shaving line that they were really pushing, again, in this like 2010s period. And yeah. so because of that, some people associate the whole store thinking it's all Q Brothers because they're only going for the shaving stuff, right? But you can still find stuff in there that's like Q Brothers branded.
Yeah, so like
Yeah, so it's a little bit confusing with the brand with the branding, honestly, because the store itself is Mertz online, Smallflower, yeah. and then some people, if you were around like back in the day, you know of you like you think of it as Q Brothers. But that promo vid is like beautiful. Like I somehow missed it. They posted it like maybe 6 months ago. And like the original or the more recent owner talks about how he gave the business to his kids and like they do this. And it's only maybe 80, 90 seconds. And it's great.
Okay.
It's beautiful. So I like
short and sweet. Yeah. I'll definitely include that for people to take a look at.
I think their money was well spent on that like ad or whatever you want to call it.
Promo.
It was really well done, and like I'm very proud to say that I live like 2 miles from there. You know,
awesome. I honestly did not know Q Brothers was also under that same umbrella. So
see, and
I learned something.
Yeah, and that's what's confusing. And part of the problem is, and I heard this, you know, in my sort of Chicago backdoor conversations, the name Mertz Apothecary is actually the name of this like really old apothecary in Europe, and they like license the name from them or something, and so they're only allowed to use it for the storefront. They're not allowed to use it online because that's takes you to the European place. So they had to come up with this other name, Smallflower, yes. which is kind of it's a name. And but then some people will order stuff from there if they're just shopping online and they don't realize that it's connected to Mertz, or they think like, oh, there's this other store in Chicago called Smallflower. So it is a little bit
complicated.
Yeah, it is a little bit complicated. And, you know, this is my attempt to sort of clear any, you know, doubts about how that all works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very helpful.
Sure.
So, And I learned something today as well.
Good.
Yeah. All right, I got one more question for you.
Sure.
One more listener question, and it comes from Walden.
Mm.
He asked, name a brand of shave software that piques your interest, but you haven't had a chance to really dive into. Maybe it's Sense that you're curious about, or maybe you've tried it in the past and want to get to know the soap base better, et cetera.
Mm. I'm going to answer the first question of something that I haven't used. And it would probably be Oakenlab. That's something that has certainly come up a lot in YouTube stuff. And for some reason, I've never really got my hands on it. There was a giveaway in the Discord not too long ago by one of the members, and I clicked the button, John. You know?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you were not the lucky winner of the giveaway.
I mean, it's good I didn't win probably, but yeah, I'm interested to try some Oaken Lab at some point. I like the international aspect to it, and even more interesting that what's the expression that the owner is an expat? Is that correct?
Yes, expat. That how you say so it? He's yeah, American, but lives in. Oh, dang it. In the...
Indonesia?
Indonesia? Yeah. Indonesia, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, not only is it, made over there, but it's made by an expat, so that sort of adds this, like, extra interesting element to it.
Very good. Well, that is... that's all I have as far as listener questions. And HD, we've been talking for more than an hour now, but it really has felt nowhere near that length. At least for me, I don't know about, yeah. I don't know about you.
But, it does.
It's flying. As we're winding things down, I'm wondering, do you have any short term and any long term goals for the YouTube channel? And I'm not talking about anything like grand, you know, not even necessarily like metrics or anything like that, but just like personal goals that you'd like to accomplish through your channel.
Mm. Well, a personal shaving goal this year is I'm trying to get to 100 open blade shaves. So it doesn't have to be straight razor, doesn't have to be WEC, but I'm including, you know, anything that's open blade in that number. Mm-hmm. And it's related to the YouTube channel because I feel like the channel sort of keeps me honest. And if I'm not, like, if I'm not feeling comfortable enough with a razor or something, I usually won't make a video with it. Like, I'll wait until I get better with it to do that. Mm-hmm. And so with regard to these open blade things that I'm using, like, it's really a challenge and to use those razors in some cases. And I feel like the channel helps keep me honest in that sense. So it's to be honest, I'm not really sure what I'm doing with my channel these days, but I'm just trying to be like more personable and more inviting to my viewers than I maybe have in the past. Like in the past, it was very like clinical. Like it was very much like, this is what I'm using. I've used it all week. These are my like very detailed thoughts. And like, that was it. And so these days I'm like, man, I've done that for years. So how can I make this a benefit for myself in the case of like these open blade things? Makes me do it on camera, which is, you know, more difficult than just doing it on my own. And then also, how can I engage with people in some other way? So I'm trying to be more just open-ended in like what I talk about in the videos. Like, because like previously, I don't know, previously I was like self-conscious about being like, okay, here's the second pass with a razor. And then, wow, how about that weather this week? Wasn't it great? Like, like that like always felt weird to me to do, even though there are many people that do that successfully within our community. Sure. It always felt weird to me, and I just felt like I needed to kind of like grow into that. And then now there's almost always a weather update. And if there's one thing Chicago people like doing, it's talking about the weather. So
this is true.
You know, I like try to talk about the weather. If I'm like traveling, I'll mention that. Or if I had an interesting gig or something, I'll mention that. So, like I said, just trying to be more personable on the channel this year, and then also that open blade challenge, which is sort of tied in with the videos too. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. I think those are great goals. Like, especially the kind of goals that are like making us improve in our craft. Mm. And I will just mention too that I think very consciously had the same thing, like how much of our personal lives, and this is for like, you know, content creators out there, how much of yourself do you put out there? And I think like you when I first started. It's like, it's clinical is a great word, and I do agree. Like, it's like very you're narrating us through the shave, but like but no more. Like that's where it stops, right? Except like weather. But it's like we're not talking about like, oh, like it was a rough day, or today was awesome because this or that, or I ate this awesome, I don't know, hot dog.
I'm cracking up as you say this, because when I think about my time starting on YouTube, and then also when I was, you know, when I met you, or however you want to say it, the elephant in the room, but in like a good way, was Rudds, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And like you and Rudds were buddies, and you all know each other, you know, in real life, right? Like you've met many times, correct?
Yeah, we've met. Yep.
And so I'm like cracking up because we're talking about like clinical shame videos, and like that. But that was his thing, and so he was always sort of the thing in the back of my mind is like, am I as clinical as Rudds right now? No. Okay. Like that's probably good.
Right. You know, it's like Rudd's Shaves is a channel because he's also someone else. We keep talking about folks that have are not currently making content, but
I moved on.
Their videos. He's not making videos anymore, but you can see his old videos. And we're talking about like being concise earlier. Yes, he's very concise, like straight to the point. And I you know, honestly, that was always inspiration, and he helped me out a lot. Plugging my channel on his, and I still appreciate him and his friendship, and his help back then. But it's like similar goals, right? Like you don't want to like drone on because I don't want to do a vlog because I think that's the other kind of style to do. I feel like you're trying to avoid that as well.
Yeah,
where it's like I'm using this today, but then the rest of the video is your car problems and. mowing the lawn. I don't know. This is not meant to demean anyone who's talking about this. It's just a different content.
See, and that's the thing is that nowadays, now that I've sort of figured out like how to shave, I actually really enjoy those vlog type shaving videos. I'm just not ready to make the jump yet myself because there is still this like analytical barrier? Side of me of where like, If it's a shaving video, then make it about shaving. If you want to do a separate video where you talk about your new car, like that's fine. But I feel like it should still be predominantly shaving for my stuff. Again, I enjoy other people. And it's funny, you mentioned the connection between you and Rudds about the concise nature of making videos. And, you know, I would have never made that connection had you not say it. But it is sort of your thing is sort of similar to the way that he was very concise and putting those like segues in between each point, right? Like he would like give the intro, then cut, shave, then cut and give his like final thoughts, right? And so again, dare I say that this is artistic, but it's funny how you can not realize the connection between two people because they present it in such a different way, but actually it's a very like literal like connection. Do you know what I mean? Like,
there's a through line in our, right? Yeah.
And it's like, for me, especially in the beginning, I was absolutely copying Michael's style. I would use the soap for 1 week, not use anything else, would wait till Sunday. I was absolutely copying him. And so a lot of people realize that, but then some people didn't. And they were like, wait, is this supposed to be like Michael? I'm like, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It is. So anyway, it's that like connection thing again. Dare I say, in the arts is kind of an interesting.
Yes, the YouTube arts of
the YouTube shaving arts. Jeez, man.
But I mean everything's connected, and then like music can be, you know, you can kind of weave it in anywhere, right? And same thing, right? Like as far as new compositions, there really isn't anything new under the sun.
It's no.
Like everyone's inspired by someone else, and
that's
you
right.
do your own riff on it. And I would say, I mean, like, again, like there might be people who are like, I am not concise at all, and that's fine. I know I ramble also. Mm. I ramble a whole lot, but like I try to be concise.
Sure.
And you know, Rudds for sure was one of the very few people doing that. was like 3-4 years ago. So yeah. and Michael did a great job. I mean, I think that if you're going to copy someone or at least be inspired by, right, what better way? Because you're going to use that either you're doing a razor, you're doing software, or the whole setup you're using 1 week. That's mm-hmm. a very informed video.
That's right.
And if you're not going to veer off and talk about your car, your new dog, whatever, then you might as well do a deep dive into the thing you were going to talk about, which I totally respect.
That's right. Yeah. And I really valued in the beginning that idea of using the same thing for a week to just really be as, what's the word, as like informed as possible when you do yeah. your video like 1 week later. I don't do that now. I'm too like scatterbrained to do it now. But I used to be very disciplined.
Yeah.
Use the same thing the whole week, you know? So anyway, yeah. Reds, go watch some of his videos if you haven't. And Michael too, but Reds is, that's so funny, man. Reds.
Well, HD, I think this it's a good place to wrap things up. I want to thank you again so much for taking some time out of this evening to just chat it up with me. Before we go, though, can you give a plug to where people can find you, or if there's any, feel free to plug your music stuff. If there's a gig coming up, I'd love to know.
Sure. So for shaving stuff, I'm on YouTube and Instagram under the name HD Shaves, and I'm trying to think about music stuff. Right. So there is a group that I used to be a part of called Visceral Trio, like the word visceral, V-I-S-C-E-R-A-L Trio. And we released an album a few years ago. It's pretty typical kind of like jazz organ music. And so if you look up that name, that's also the name of the album on any, you know, streaming music platform. You can mm-hmm. listen to all original tunes that were written by me and also the guitarist that was in that group. So that's kind of the easiest thing that's easily found. Mm. If you want something a little bit more specific, like, I'd like a song that sounds like this. Do you have anything like that? Just send me a direct message and I'll direct you to it. But that Visceral Trio album is very easy to find. And we went to a studio and it was like mixed nicely. So it should be a nice, you know, sonic experience, even if you don't particularly care for the music itself. So, yeah.
Awesome. I'll be sure to include all those links. So your Instagram, your YouTube page, and then maybe like a Spotify link to
sure.
The Visceral Trio album. Although you can use whichever platform you like to listen
that's
to your
right.
music, but it's just to get you started and uh-huh. on your way. Awesome. Well, HG, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure, and I hope to have you on again, hopefully with Gerard, and we can also find out where you wind up with your straight razor journey.
Right. Yeah. Now I don't only have YouTube keeping me accountable, I have y'all too, so that's
yes,
nice. Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, John, thanks so much for having me, man. Time really flew by, and it was great to chat with you, so thanks.
Well, guys, thank you so much for checking out this episode of Lather Talk with HD Shaves. I really had such a wonderful time speaking with Henry. Time flew, as we mentioned, and he's just such a talented dude. HD really knows the stuff he likes, like the gem razors, and man, what an eye-opening look at the life of a musician. I hope you guys found it just as interesting as I did, just how Henry became a professional musician, and even what the day-to-day looks like a little bit. So thanks again to HD Shaves. Don't forget to check out all the links in the description. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you again for joining us, and I hope to catch you guys next episode. Take care.